morning, Brother Chairman, brethren and sisters, in and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to begin with a word of deep appreciation for the prayer that we have just participated in. Thought out and delivered in earnestness, and it sets the theme. Little did he know what I was going to be speaking about today. It sets the theme for what we are going to spend some time together talking about. Brethren and sisters, on the table before us are the emblems. They serve to remind us of a life given in dedication and sacrifice to his Father in heaven, given in order that the will of the Father in heaven might be done to his glory and to his honor. And it was this Son that upon more than one occasion God said of him, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." As we prepare ourselves to not only just join in the partaking of these symbols, which is of utmost importance, but as we continue throughout the remainder of this week, I want us to remember the Father's statement concerning our Lord when he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," and ask ourselves, how was it that Jesus was worthy of such commendation, of such a tribute from his Father? Was it a father's doting love for his one and only son? The answer, of course, no, it was not. That statement regarding our Lord was made because the Father could utter that worthy commendation as a result of our Lord's life in the presence of his God. By way of a character and of a life that had been developed and that had grown spiritually, and now was very acceptable to his Father in heaven. There had been a growth, a development that continued throughout his life, that resulted in his becoming the vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Father's will, in providing a way of salvation for mankind. So this morning, we need to consider the theme of spiritual development and growth. By way of exhortation, as we meet yet one more time to remember a life that was given, that was lived, and that we are asked to follow. Not a mere an hour and a half on Sunday mornings, but a way of life 7 days a week. We're asked to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we continue this morning, following the admonition of the Apostle Paul, and he said, "Let a man examine himself." We've come here to examine ourselves, and again, not just for a few moments prior or during the partaking of the emblems, to ask ourselves, where am I at in my spiritual life? Where am I at in my spiritual development? We're going to commence with just a brief consideration of the life of Jesus, an overview. He had to grow and to develop, brethren and sisters, and to increase. There had to be a continuing spiritual development throughout his life in order to become qualified to accomplish what his Father's will had in mind. Where did it start and how did it progress? Brethren and sisters, would you open your Bible to the Gospel as recorded by Luke chapter 2? And as we go through this, I have an appeal to the parents in our midst, to the grandparents in our midst, to the aunties and uncles, the fellow brethren and sisters. for there's something vital here that we shall see. Luke chapter 2 and at verse 39, "And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth." Verse 40, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Brothers and sisters, did it just happen? Did it just come about some mysterious way? No, it did not. It did not. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was a young child, had very devoted, spiritually minded parents who knew that they had a responsibility for their God whom they worshipped was seeking a godly seed, not a worldly seed, a godly seed, a spiritual seed, one reflecting the character and the honor and the glory of the Father in heaven. And the prophet Micah makes that very clear, that God seeks a godly seed. And so these parents, very familiar with their scriptures, would see to it that the Lord Jesus Christ developed spiritually as he grew up in the little city of Nazareth. Jesus grew strong in spiritual development and growth as a direct result of God-fearing parents and others in the local community around him who would have followed the divine instruction from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And would we please go there now? Deuteronomy chapter 6. Brothers and sisters, we're discussing something that in the end result either means life or death. And we need to be aware of that. God, in his love for his people, in the book of Deuteronomy and at chapter 6, had this instruction for parents, grandparents, and the community at large. Verse 1, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them." It's not just a matter of head knowledge and knowing a whole bunch of good things. There's a way of life involved, that you might do them in the land, whether you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear, reverence, have respect and honor and glory for the God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged or blessed. Blessings for those who will spiritually develop and walk in accordance with God's divine will and purpose. Down to verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Teach them diligently unto thy children. Parents, grandparents, members of the ecclesia at large, we have this awesome responsibility, and not only just to teach by way of a few words. "Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." That passage of Scripture, brethren and sisters, is describing a way of life. A way of life. Constantly, 7 days a week, the things of truth are out and exposed, talked about, discussed, and lived. Going back to Luke chapter 2. Remember, we're just reviewing the Lord Jesus Christ for a few moments. We're told in verse 51, we're going to back up here for a moment. Verse 46, "And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers." Brothers and sisters, we're talking about a 12-year-old. where are our 12-year-olds today? What kind of things are they into? What do they know and exhibit so capably and so well through the use of the electronic media and a whole bunch of other things? Where are we at with our young people and our children? What are we telling them? What are we allowing them to do in our homes? Is it of a spiritual nature or is it of the world that we know is going to pass away? Or are we slipping away from that belief? Brothers and sisters, it's a grave matter. Verse 51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Subject unto them. This 12-year-old wasn't telling the parents what he was going to do and where he was going to do and how the party was going to be arranged. The divine text said he was subject to his parents. Is that the kind of scenes that are in our homes? I hope so. But I know otherwise. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. There it is. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He developed spiritually as a result of those around him. And yes, there was the divine aspect as well. But unless we are tempted to think that, well, he was the Son of God and all this just happened to him. Sorry. That's not true. There is a work to be done, and we want to be aware of it. For the next 18 years, the growth and the development increased as Jesus continued to be instructed from the Scriptures, his heart and his mind absorbing those divine things, developing as he drank deep from the wells of salvation. As he absorbed into his very being the power of the Word of God, it became a way of life for them, not an intellectual study. And he was an example to the community in which he sojourned. Over the page in Luke chapter 3, faced with the temptations, aren't we all faced with the temptations of life, and particularly our young people, our children? Faced with the temptations of a godless, atheistic world, this young man was able to withstand. And how did he do it? The divine record reveals for us that on three distinct and separate occasions, he was able to say, "It is written." He knew his scriptures, and they were a part of him, not an intellectual thing only, but they were part of him. It is written, and he was able to repudiate the temptations that were coming against him. May we take these things, brethren and sisters, into our hearts and minds and be aware. This is how we withstand what the world offers to us. And by the age of 30 years, Jesus' growth and maturity and development was such that these words were spoken to him back in chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. The Holy Spirit descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." However, the growth was not over. The growth was not over just because he had become baptized. He had a work to do. And 3.5 years later, he was going to face Gethsemane and Calvary. How was he able to do it? Because he was spiritually developed and able to overcome, as the Revelation uses the term, and thus accomplish his Father's will. And as a direct result, you and I are sitting here this morning in the awesome hope of that glorious coming kingdom as a result of one who was spiritually grown and developed. He knew his scriptures, he lived those scriptures, and we share in the wonderful results that are available to us as a result of that. Having seen the principle and the outworking of that principle very, very briefly in our Lord's life, would you come to the Gospel as recorded by John chapter 3? We now move to consider this vital matter in relation to our own personal lives. And don't worry about someone else in the audience. We'll concentrate on self-examination. For those of us who are baptized, a certain growth took place that led to that baptism. We were able to undergo an interview, and we were accepted into fellowship as a result after the baptism. That was X number of years for each one of us. Now let's read the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, we're very familiar with them. Jesus is speaking with one of the Pharisee rulers named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is asking certain questions, and Jesus says very clearly in verse 3 of John chapter 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Those are the words of our Lord. He's actually stating that there can be conditions in which we may not see the kingdom of God, regardless of our baptism. We come down to verse 5, and it's enlarged for us, where Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water." We understand that. That's quite easy. That's baptism. "Except a man be born of water." But the divine text does not stop there. Born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What's this about being born of the Spirit being an essential requirement for entering into the kingdom of God? It's right here in the book. And we want to be aware of these things, brethren and sisters, as we ask ourselves two vital questions. Where am I? Where am I in my spiritual development here towards the end of the year 2009? Where am I in my conversion, in my development, in my character development, in my spiritual growth, and the associated question that goes with it, what steps am I taking to ensure that my spiritual growth is happening? Because if we think we can slide and cruise into the kingdom of God, we haven't read the book. And we want to be very careful with the assumption that getting wet in the tank does wonders for us. It does wonders for us in the one sense of the term. But that's the beginning of the journey. The beginning of the journey. And we want to be aware of that. There has to be a growth, brethren and sisters, as we've been talking about. Years ago, a well-respected brother told us that in the truth, you either progress or you regress. There's no such thing as the status quo and just cruising along at a nice level place. We're either progressing or we're slipping away. It's one or the other. And so we've got to take the steps to make sure that it's going in the progressing direction so that we can become vessels developed and fit for the Master's use. Developed in our character and our talents that God has given each one of us to use in his service. We're not going there, but take the time to read Matthew chapter 25. The first parable in Matthew chapter 25 enunciates clearly for us. There is a danger in not having sufficient oil in the vessel lamp minds of the believer. And secondly, there are the talents that are to be put to use. Maybe only one talent. And I might add that we just want to be careful judging others about how talents are being used. There are people that have one talent. All God asks is that that be developed. And the person who's got 5 or 10, good. Use them. As long as the spiritual growth is going along with the use of those talents. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We have the Apostle Paul with some very valuable instruction being given to the young brother Timothy at this time. Verse 15 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. The text reads, "Study to show thyself approved unto God," not man. "Show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We've had lots said about this verse. Just want to say that watch the word study. You may think, well, it's all about head knowledge and becoming intellectual. We have to have a knowledge and an understanding. There's no question about that. That word means give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Give diligence to show thyself approved unto God, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That means the reading and the study of God's word. As we move on down through the text, brothers and sisters, we come down to verse 19. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Verse 20. "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. Some to honor and some to dishonor." This is out of the Word of God. This is not some Christadelphian prepared word. So, two types of vessels, some to honor and some to dishonor. Which one am I? Which one am I? How are we doing in our stewardship? Where are we in comparison to our baptism? We will all develop at different rates and different amounts, and that's all God's asking for, is spiritual development. But there must be the developing and the growing and the changing. We must be in fellowship with our God. Which means, as 1 John declares, that we walk in the light and not in darkness. Each day of our lives, oh, what a struggle we have dealing with the darkness around us, creeping into our midst. I want to digress for a moment. I want to draw our attention to just one area in our daily life where growth and development takes place in major amounts. And that has to do with our daily employment. Oh yes, anyone who is or has been employed, including self-employed, started at a very new beginning entry level at some point in their work history. Right? But they didn't stay there. If they did, they wouldn't be employed. How did these individuals get to become licensed, certified, accomplished workers? How did you get from apprentice to journeyman status, or maybe even master journeyman status? Did it just happen? You put in some time at work and you were quite a regular attender in the coffee room and the lunch room. Is that how it happened? Oh, no. No. There was growth, brethren and sisters. There was growth and development. There was progress, wasn't there? We became more and more valuable to our employer as a direct result of continuous, dedicated, long hours of study and work. Over years and years and years and years of our life. It's an amazing fact of truth. Courses, home study, refresher courses, night school, exams, update courses, all in the name of holding down a good job, of providing for our daily temporal needs, and I might add, for our wants. Yes, we did it all, didn't we? And we're doing it all, don't we? End of digression. We have a spiritual master. We have a spiritual employer, a spiritual owner, who is looking for men and women to employ in his service. Looking for men and women of good use to his honor, who will reflect his glory, will manifest him as developed servants, dedicated servants, exhibiting God's character. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and at verse 20. This passage isn't about condemnation. It's a warning, but it's about the chance to apply spiritual growth. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, there we are. There is the reference to spiritual growth, brethren and sisters. It doesn't have to be that we remain a vessel of dishonor if that's where we're at. If that's where we're at. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he gets rid of those things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. The language is not hard to follow. It's hard to do. But brothers and sisters, we can do it if we set our minds to it and if we understand as a result of the reading and the study of this word how things work. Because around us, humanism is telling us very different things. And so we want to be aware that entering into the kingdom of God does not just happen. We'll go to 2 Peter chapter 1, reading by special request this morning. This chapter has been developed in Bible class very effectively, but we do well to just remind ourselves of it again. It's the Apostle Peter writing some very powerful words. We'll go in at verse 10 and 11 to begin with. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Do we get it? Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. It doesn't just happen. And then the wonderful news. It says, for if, and there's that little qualifying word if ye do these things, and it is the word do, it isn't just know, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there it is, the marvelous hope and the promise that is given to us. But there is a process and a procedure that is required. Back in the earlier part of this chapter, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Did we get that? The corruption the corruption that is in the world through lust and desire. That's what the world offers, is corruption and a dead end in the grave. But we can go on from there. And beside this, giving all diligence. There it is again, giving diligence. We can't be on cruise, just kind of sauntering along. Giving diligence, add to your faith virtue, and there's a whole list there. It's been very capably developed in Bible class not so long ago. That is all about spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. Yes, we have to have the growth that goes with our daily employment, or we would soon lose our job. But brothers and sisters, there's got to be a balance. Add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, and so on. And then verse 8 comes into focus. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the solemn words, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And then it comes back in verses 10 and 11 we've already looked at. The marvelous hope and promise for those who will develop spiritually in the presence of God Almighty. Daily Bible readings are an absolute must in our midst. Daily Bible readings with discussion, especially when there is family to join with us. They need every bit of input that they can get, teaching the instruction, the lessons that they need to develop as a godly seed. So, brothers and sisters, we open our Bibles at whatever part or time of the day, and we do our daily Bible readings as often as we possibly can. There is a reward and a wonderful end result for doing so. We can't grow, brothers and sisters, on a skim diet or a no diet of this book. We can't grow. We will stifle and fall away and be in the world with all of its glamour that it has to offer. There is Bible class held in this ecclesia. In fact, we're just in the process of getting ready to prepare the next six-month program. Bible class is Bible study. The attendance is an area that could improve. Could improve. Brothers and sisters, if we're not here, apart from the elderly, or if work demands require it, if we're not here studying God's Word together with our brothers and sisters, where are we on Thursday night? Something to think about. Sunday night lectures, that's Bible study. Busy presenting the gospel message, fundamental principles of truth. It's a time to bring the little ones along too. Yes, they need to know that mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, and all the rest that are here believe in these things. It's their way of life. And religion isn't something about an hour and a half on Sunday morning. We need to live it in front of them. We have good support for both of those events, but it can improve, brothers and sisters. There is room for improvement so that we might be better equipped to spiritually develop. And we thank those who support Bible class, lectures, and the sisters' classes. Yes, the sisters' classes. Taking time out of busy schedules to sit down and do some Bible study. And there are other methods of Bible study, obviously, as well. There's home Bible study. But the point is, we need to be doing it. Because, you see, the world around us has got us busy. There is, pardon me if I don't even pronounce them right, but there's Facebook entries. Oh, there's Twittering. There's texting. And oh, there's a couple more I don't even know about yet. We're spending our time doing those things for the glory of who? Think about it. Come on, let's think about these things. Time to do all of that? No time to pick up the Christadelphian magazine and read the wonderful articles in them, or some books out of our library, or we have probably in our own shelves at home. But we're texting and we're Twittering and we're Facebooking. I'm sorry. You've got to ask yourselves where we're headed, who we're trying to impress, what we're developing. Because the word that we've looked at this morning makes it abundantly clear where we need to be at. And where, through the strength of God, we need to be at. As we enter into the participation of these memorial emblems, we remember this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We also will go into the forthcoming week, we pray, and ask ourselves, where am I at and what am I doing about my spiritual development?